Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong. Throw low and dips, turn the game on. Pump up the volume, it's time to play ball. Throw low and dips, turn the game on.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us today. We are guest-free for the final hour and ready to rock and roll, but we would like to invite you into the program. Two manners in which you can join us today. One, as always, the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795, as well as via the phones, 888-957-9570. We're going to get to Kyler Murray and Bryce Harper in just a little bit, but we're going to start here. Two very well-respected NFL reporters slash analysts yesterday with interesting pieces. Number one, John Clayton. You know him from ESPN. He also writes a column for the Washington Post. He made 10 off-season predictions yesterday. Prediction number one was that the San Francisco 49ers would acquire both Antonio Brown and Earl Thomas, and then proceed to go 8-8 or better next season. Bill Barnwell of ESPN wrote a piece called The NFL's Offseason Dominoes. He laid out scenarios, domino scenarios, for maybe 7 or 8 players, and he talked about how if this player signs here, here are the dominoes that could fall. Two players were linked to the Niners. One, Earl Thomas, where he suggested a contract of 3 years, $36 million. So that's now two guys suggesting Earl Thomas to the 49ers, as well as Le'Veon Bell, the Pittsburgh Steelers running back, at 5 years, $80 million. So, as Niner fans, we got some big questions right around the corner. Do you want to see the Niners pursue Le'Veon Bell if it means a price tag of $16 million per year? 888-957-9570. Do you prefer Antonio Brown? 888-957-9570. Thoughts on Earl Thomas and everything in between? Let's open up the free agency discussion. Dibs, you hear all these scenarios. What strikes your fancy?
Le'Veon Bell is a hard pass for me. Not only because he's coming off a year on ice, but ostensibly he quit on his team and you don't know what you're going to get. Additionally, you have in Jerick McKinnon at a much lower price the ability to have a player who, while he probably won't be as good as Le'Veon Bell at his peak, you don't know what you have with Le'Veon Bell. Jerick McKinnon is a guy who you went out of your way to get. So I'm happier with my running back room than I am with my wide receiver room, which is a room that desperately needs a number one and it desperately needs an upgrade. So for me, the focus is on Antonio Brown, not Le'Veon Bell. As it pertains to Earl Thomas, if you want to give him the kind of contract that Richard Sherman got and bring him in, absolutely, your secondary is in need of any upgrade possible. So for me, Brown, yes. Thomas, yes. Bell, it's a hard pass.
Some serious swagger for a young defense to have both Sherman and Thomas leading the way. Granted, probably a bit past their primes, but they can still play. And the ability to have them in there leading and mentoring a young defense, that could mean something. It could mean something in a big way. Dibs mentioned how it's a hard pass for Le'Veon Bell. You incredulously rolled your eyes, sat back in your seat, almost as if you couldn't believe something so stupid could be uttered on sports talk radio. Why such a dramatic response?
I'm really shocked sometimes with Daniel's perspective on the game, especially when it comes to evaluating certain situations and saying, I'm willing to pay a receiver that had 15 touchdowns. I'm willing to pay him $19 to $20 million a year. I'm not willing to play a guy that's carrying the ball a lot more. He can have just as many yards receiving and rushing than you're going to pay a guy the same amount of money for. It doesn't behoove Dibs to go on that route. It doesn't. When you think about what Le'Veon can bring to the table from a passing standpoint, from a running standpoint, you're looking at what you have in George Kittle. Now you're in 21 or even 12 or even in 12 personnel, and now he's down blocking, and now he can slip out. and he can go out in the routes. Because you have a guy that is a home run hitter, you're talking about the screen game, the passing game. He can block. He can do it, everything. I just think that if you look at just the volume, a guy who's going to touch the ball a lot more, it's not even close. It's not even close what Le'Veon can bring to the table. And a guy that quit, no, he just said, you know what, I'm not quitting. I've already played for the franchise tag. I blew out my knee, and I came back and did everything you guys asked. I think your receiver is the one who quit. This guy played a couple games, quit, didn't was disruptive, didn't show up the last game, and this is the guy you want to award? I just find that hard to believe. I would go definitely Le'Veon Bell. It's not even close to me.
The struggle I have with Bell at Bill Barnwell's price point, 5 years, $80 million. Now, the Niners have the money, and there's no doubt in my mind that in Kyle Shanahan's system, he may be the most productive running back in the league. But is that cost going to be worth it? The top 20 running back cap hits this past year, right? So the teams, the players that cost the most money against the salary cap at the running back position, of the top 20, how many do you think were on playoff teams?
Oh, just scanning quickly, I'd say two. Two of the top 20.
More than two, it was five. It was five. There were only five of the top 20. So think about that. Mm-hmm. You have 12 playoff teams, but seven got there without dedicating top 20 money to the running back. Todd Gurley was two. Ezekiel Elliott was three. Lamar Miller in Houston was four. Mm. Mark Ingram, eight. And Melvin Gordon snuck in at 20. The Patriots, the Eagles, the Bears, the Chiefs, all teams, the Seahawks, all teams that found their way into the postseason without needing to sign a running back to a top 20 cap number for the running back position. That's what worries me. When I'm trying to figure out how to allocate my resources in a salary cap league, my thought is, what position can make the other positions great, right? For example, can a great running back overcome a terrible offensive line? Versus, can a great offensive line make an average to below average running back look better? Can a great defensive line help out a poor secondary more than a great secondary can help out a poor defensive line? Which positions have a bigger domino effect? I look at Brady, and for years he's made it work with just about anybody. Peyton Manning made it work with just about anybody at the wide receiver position. And I wonder, great quarterback play is obviously worth a premium because of those you can make around you better. A great offensive line. Remember Darren McFadden filling in for Zeke Elliott behind that Dallas offensive line? McFadden had never done anything. Raider fans know this. He hadn't done anything. And he gets behind a great offensive line. Suddenly he's putting up numbers. So I'm thinking to myself, how would I want to invest the money? In order, get the quarterback, rush the quarterback, protect the quarterback, and then work it from there. So Bell, you're right, Lo. He would come in, he would touch the ball 20-plus times a game, massive factor in the running game and the passing game. I just wonder, is that too much money to dedicate there when you've got to go get pass rushers? That's the thing. I don't know if I take him over Antonio Brown. I don't know if I take Brown over him. That's a lot of money on skill position. Now, the phone lines are juiced. We love you guys. So anything regarding Niner free agency is on the table. Oscar in Concord, we'll begin with you. Oscar, thank you for the phone call. What's going on?
Hey, morning, guys. I just want to get your opinion on this. So I admit I'm not a very big college guy, but what about this scenario? Is there a way we can get Le'Veon and Antonio Brown? Is there anyone in this draft that we can maybe entice anyone to buy our second round pick? Maybe that can give us some more wiggle room for some more money? Or would it be bad if we got both? I just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
I'll tell you what, right now, if you send the number two overall pick to Pittsburgh, they will send you Antonio Brown. And then you just have to go out and give 5 years, $80 million to Le'Veon Bell, which is money you do have, and you've got both. That's a realistic scenario. You can pull that off. Question is it too pricey? $80 million for Bell and the number two pick plus $16, $17 million a year for Brown?
Too pricey.
Yeah.
Way too
pricey.
Too
much for old Jed's taste.
Especially when you...
Jed's got nice taste.
He does. And he's trying to upgrade the roster. And, you know, you have all this money under the cap and you got to spend it sooner rather than later if you want to maximize Jimmy G and maximize Lynch and Shanahan window. What you said before makes perfect sense about get the quarterback, protect him and rush him. And right now you've got your quarterback. At least you believe you do in Jimmy Garoppolo. You protected him by drafting Mike McGlinchey. You'll probably invest some more draft capital in another guard or maybe a tackle to eventually replace Joe Staley this year and then rush the quarterback. We all know that that's number one on their priority board. So for me, giving up the number two pick for Antonio Brown doesn't make sense because that is earmarked for the third category you talked about, which is rush the passer.
Stephen Babb, Vallejo. Babb, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen? Good morning.
Good morning to you. What do you got for us?
So it's not my money. I'm going to preface it by saying that. But I think you go after Earl Thomas and you go after Antonio Brown. And we don't want all of Pittsburgh's baggage. So I'm going to pass on Le'Veon Bell. And I've got a dark horse for you for edge pass rusher. How about Dante Fowler Jr. from the Rams? He's going to be a free agent this year. The Rams are kind of cap heavy on defense, and I think he'd be a great fit with the Niners. So you get out there and you do it.
Nice uptick. Thank you very,
very
much.
Very good.
The Dante Fowler suggestion is interesting. Fowler was a top 10 pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars a few years ago. It never seemed to work out. He got injured and missed his entire rookie season, came back, never really produced at the level they would have liked. They traded him to the Rams during the season, and then he experienced a lot of success. He looked like a legit player. But again, how much of that is a byproduct of having offensive lines needing to focus on Sue and Donald?
Yeah.
Would you take a risk on a guy like Dante Fowler?
I got to get him on the cheap. He's nowhere near Lawrence. You're absolutely right, Joe. He benefited from being on that Ram team. I don't think he's going to fly on the guy's radar. He's out there. He's going to be a free agent. He's going to be sought after. But for me, I think it's the guy in Dallas. I love what he can bring to the table. That's where I would focus there. And then my second round pick, my second pick in the draft, when I'm picking in first round, second pick, then I'm looking at Bosa or Josh Allen. So I think those are situations that the Niners can get extremely better. Now you have four defensive linemen, because now Solomon Thomas, you can drop, bring him inside. You already got Buckner. Now you friggin' got Bosa too. So if you think about that, now you have a defensive front that is arguably one of the better ones in the NFL.
Is it additionally damning of Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas that they didn't benefit from playing with DeForest Buckner? Because you guys both just laid out playing with Donald and Sue helped Fowler inordinately, and I think you're right. But does that then become a knock on Armstead and Thomas, Joe? Because now Buckner is no Sue and he's no Donald, but he's in that next tier down. Wouldn't those guys have had better years playing with him?
In theory, yes. You'd have to go through and look at how often. So how many offensive linemen or blockers in general are you dedicating to Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald on an average basis, right? It's probably close to three blockers. Probably on an average basis, three blockers to those two. So how many favorable one-on-one matchups did Dante Fowler get? How many matchups did he get where he was unblocked because there was too much attention being paid to the other two? Take that and then weigh it against Armstead, Thomas, and everybody else. And how often was DeForest Buckner double-teamed? Who was next to him? Who stood to be the primary beneficiary? And what did they do with that scenario? It's kind of like being a wide receiver. Well, when you go up against the primary corner, how are you producing? And when the primary corner is shadowing the other guy, how are you producing? So I would say that if Buckner is the game wrecker that a lot of people think he is, the guys playing next to him probably should have had some more favorable matchups, and in those situations should have performed at a higher level. Yeah, I think you could look at that. We'd really have to do some in-depth study. We have to check the tape, as I say. We have to check the tape.
Let's see if we can get Pop on that Thursday at 8:30, because I know he watched every defensive snap twice, if not thrice. So he's probably the go-to guy.
and that's why what I'm saying, though, if you have Lawrence and you have, whether it's Allen or Bosa, now you got two edge rushers. Now you go inside. Now you got Buckner inside. Now you'd have Solomon. Now you can't necessarily slide anyway, because usually you have some slide protection and then everyone's sliding to a side. Now when you have four guys, you're not necessarily going to slide, because you could have the running back come off the end and just cut the guy, but you're not going to do that because that's a mismatch. So now I think that when you have four guys, I think you would see Solomon's numbers go up, I think anywhere from five or greater sacks. If you went out and did what I'm saying to do, get Lawrence, you have Buckner already, and now you go out and draft either Allen or Bosa, I believe that you'll have Solomon Thomas over five. He'll probably even have 5 to 10 sacks.
If you draft Bosa and you sign Lawrence and you have Buckner, the fourth guy better have the best numbers of his life, or you better cut his ass after week two. His first game, he should have 2 sacks. That is going to be, ultimately, that's your scenario. If the Niners want to turn this thing, if you sign Lawrence and draft Bosa, that's it. The game has changed. You could still go out and probably spend the money on Earl Thomas to bring him in to upgrade the back end. You got a legit defense there. You've got a legit defense. Now, it's probably not the Bear defense from last season, but you've got a defense capable of getting you into the playoffs and possibly winning some games. The big question here, though, hinges on what Dallas does with DeMarcus Lawrence. They franchise tagged him last year, and to his credit, he kept his mouth shut and he played. He didn't cause any problems. That's big, but he did make it clear as well. I'll play under this year. I'm not doing it next year. So you got me for this year. They paid him. He went out and he recorded double-digit sacks again. Sack totals were down a bit, but he was still every bit as disruptive by every other metric. Now what's Dallas going to do? They got to worry about Amari Cooper because you know they're going to pay Amari. You're not going to give up a number one pick.
It's Amari.
Go out there and win one playoff game and then get rid of Amari Cooper. You're going to pay him, and you got to get ready to pay Prescott at some point. But do you let DeMarcus Lawrence get away? The option that's out there is they could franchise him at a number that would be just over $20 million per year because it would be the second time franchising him. But that's not going to work because he's going to sit there and go, I'm not playing. And they'll say, we'll call your bluff. And he's going to look at his agent and go, what if they call my bluff? And he'll say, well, that's happened twice in the last year. Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald and both got paid. So you're getting paid. We're not going to show up. We're going to do exactly what those two guys did, and you're going to get paid. So maybe Jerry opens up the vault, but if he doesn't, he could get out there under the open market. And if he does, that's where the Niners got to pounce. Because between that and a pass rusher at number two, you have now all of a sudden created a situation where you can get after Jared Goff. And we all know what happens when you get after Jared Goff. You can get after Russell Wilson. And we all know that you can limit Russell Wilson if you make his life hell. And you can get after whatever Arizona's doing with Cliff Kingsbury.
Kyler Rosen.
Yeah, not too concerned either way.
Right. Josh Murray.
But you're going to be in a great situation. Now, what you have to plan for is plan B. What if Lawrence doesn't make it out there? There are other pass rushers, certainly not as explosive, but guys you could bring in. Ezekiel Ansah in Detroit. Trey Flowers in New England is going to be a free agent. It looks like the Giants might cut Olivier Vernon. He could make his way out there, although he was more of a 3-4 outside linebacker. Those are some possibilities as well. Just like Bab mentioned, Dante Fowler. You bring him in, not elite, but if you get the most out of him like the Rams did, perhaps someone that can help you get to the next level.
Yeah, it is. And for me, if you don't get Lawrence, then I look to build elsewhere. I maybe look at it, you know, trying to spend some money, maybe on another corner, spend a little bit of money, get more into the corner market, because I want to make sure that I don't miss. I understand Fowler and those guys, Ansah from Detroit. Those guys, they can play. They're good. I just can't bank on those guys being just going to be consistent all year long. So I want to make sure that I got a bankable product out there if I'm really going to try to compete. So if I don't miss that, if I miss on that, I'm going after a corner. I'm going after another lockdown corner to help on the back end.
You got to find a defensive playmaker because we talked about it all season. You had a total of 7 takeaways as a team. You had 2, count them, 2 interceptions. One of them was a pick 6 from Richard Sherman, and I can't even place the other one. But will you go through a 6?
Exum. Wasn't it Exum against the Chargers?
Antone
the
Exum.
Pass early in the game?
There you go. Great memory, coach. That's...
Yeah, I needed the Chargers to cover 27.5 points on the team total, and every Niner point counted because you knew the Chargers would keep their foot on the gas.
Yeah. Of course, it comes back to a D-gen play that that you made. That's great.
I got the answer, didn't I? It doesn't matter
you
how.
Sure did.
It doesn't matter how much it may have cost.
I scored it. Put that on the board.
So where are you going with that, Dib? So you need a playmaker. So would you?
I think you're going pass rusher first, right. Pass rusher second, pass rusher third. But if you can't get Lawrence, if you can't get Ansah, maybe Jadeveon Clowney, one of those guys who can really make a difference, then I think you're right. You have to find something on the back end, someone who can take the football away, because you were dead last in the giveaway takeaways, and it wasn't even close. And you know that the giveaway part of it's going to probably correct itself with a better quarterback and a better running back. But the takeaway part, you got to go out and bring some people in to do that.
Reminds me of George Costanza's import-export conversation. Well, Elaine broke up with her boyfriend because he wants to focus more on the importing and less on the exporting. Love what was it. He importing? Chips. What was he exporting? Diapers. Back to the phones. Brandon, Napa. Brandon, thank you for calling the show. What's going on?
Not too much. How's it going there?
Average as usual.
Nice. So I had an idea here. I think the Niners should trade Jimmy G and draft Kyler Murray.
Okay, so say that one more time for me.
I think the Niners should look into trading Jimmy G for a first-round pick, maybe a second on top of it, and draft Kyler Murray with that second pick.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Lo got all excited. I might as well throw it over to you.
whoa. 1,000%. If I could get a first round pick for him, If I knew I could get a first and a second for him, I'd do it tomorrow.
So you need a first and a second because they got to take his contract as well.
Do it.
So let me get this straight.
If I get a first and a second, I'm trading tomorrow.
Well, if I get seven firsts, I'm trading him yesterday. Coach, you're not going to get a first and a
second. Bullfrog wouldn't have a tail. He wouldn't bust his ass either, Dibs.
Not sure what to make of that, but it sounded pretty good.
It did.
You know, Bullfrog. I'll tell you what to make of it. Referring to my previous sound drop. They're not getting
sound
a first
like you've been
and a
licking
second.
Frogs. You've been licking frogs out there?
Dibs, talking to you.
Psychotropic toads is what you're on over there.
You've been licking toads again?
Must be, because you're not getting a first and a second for a former backup quarterback who's made a grand total of seven starts with a torn-up knee.
You paid him $125 million.
Yes,
you paid
you
him
$35 did.
Million. You, yeah, you paid him.
That doesn't mean that another team's going to give you a first and a second.
I'll end this right now. Anyone who wants to call and anyone in this room who wants to sell their Garoppolo stock, I'm buying. I'll buy all of it. Anyone who's got stock in Garoppolo that they want to sell, totally understandable. It's a free market around here. This
Step
is not
up.
North Korea.
Speak
we have
up.
To reiterate that time and time again. I am willing to buy all Jimmy Garoppolo stock that is for sale. I want to make that very clear. Do you have stock you'd like to sell me?
No.
Oh, no. Big talker, Betty Crocker.
Who is that backing up of the truck sound? That's
exactly.
What that sounds like right there.
Totally.
You got it. That's literally what you just did.
It's a big truck, too.
I didn't say I didn't like the kid. I didn't say that.
Here comes the Deezer.
Which, by the way, it looked like you were parked up on the curb this morning when I came in. Is that true?
I get a little close to that curb because my mirror is something.
Back to this again.
Guys are licking toads. Seriously, I saw the truck up on the curb.
I don't know if I was on it. It was a little close to the sidewalk. I tried to get out of the road because the big D's.
The fact that he's not saying no pretty much reconfirms. Now, it's early in the morning, so I'm not positive of what I'm seeing.
But probably,
as I was driving past the D's, I'm like, the D's back right tire appears to be up on the curb.
The D's, yeah, because the mirrors come out. They're bigger and they're wider than the average mirrors. So I do get a little closer.
I got you at minus 125 to get a ticket for that infraction.
So because the mirror is bigger, as a result, you park on the curb.
A little closer to the curb. Close as I can.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because
but it might make some.
No, because
if you admit to licking toads.
It's not really a curb. It's kind of a sidewalk because you don't have to go over it. So it's just kind of flat.
You're still
like
up
road.
On it.
It's too high to get over.
You park
too low
on the street,
under.
You walk on the sidewalk. Hence the term side. Wait for it. Walk.
And what does curb mean? So it means it's elevated.
It's just there. It's a curb.
Not,
you
so
don't park
elevated?
On it. You don't walk on it. It's the curb.
Is a curb elevated?
Yeah, generally.
Yeah, but this one's not. So that's why I said when
I'll bet you $1,000 right now that it's elevated, at least in some regard. Maybe not a foot like most curbs, but it's at least elevated a couple inches. A
couple of coats of paint would elevate it by millimeters.
I'll bet you $1,000 it's not a couple inches. I'll bet
but
you.
It's elevated.
You want to bet?
I just want to make sure you're willing to say it's elevated.
You got to say it. No. Let's say what you said. Let's stay where you're
at. I just wanted to make sure I was able to get you to that. Thank
I
you very
you
much. We're out of time.
Elevation sensation.
So he is parked on a curb.
Stop, Joseph.
It may or may not be of 2 inches in length.
Very proper. Let's go for the money, baby. Not a couple inches.
I'll think about it. We got to go to the break, but the phones are packed.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. Great to have you with us today as we begin the finishing kick of Joe Lowendibs here on 95.7 The Game. We are opening the phone lines to you. 888-957-9570. All things 49ers offseason are on the table. Two stories that we focused on. John Clayton, formerly of ESPN, now of the Washington Post, has an article with 10 predictions for the NFL offseason. Prediction number one is that the 49ers will acquire both Antonio Brown and Earl Thomas and then proceed to go 8-8 or better next season. Bill Barnwell of ESPN has a great piece called Ranking the Dominoes. And I got that wrong because I didn't have the sheet up. It's NFL's offseason dominoes, in which he links Le'Veon Bell, Steelers running back, to the Niners at a price for 5 years, $80 million. He also, like Clayton, links Earl Thomas to the 49ers at a price of 3 years, $36 million. Do you like the idea of signing Earl Thomas? What about Le'Veon Bell versus Antonio Brown? Do you try to get both? 888-957-9570. All options are on the table. We've already got people trying to sell Garoppolo stock. I'm willing to buy all of that, so the stock exchange is open as well. Will in Marin, we'll start with you. Will, what's going on?
guys, thanks for taking my call. So no one's really talked about is the Shanahan offense is absolutely dynamite for running back. So having Bell in a Shanahan offense would be ridiculous. And like Lowe talked about, you know, that's a guy that you can lean on late and keep that young defense kind of off the field. Even if you had Earl Thomas and them kind of promoting it and, you know, kind of being the leadership of it, you know, there's still going to be mistakes because they can't play every position. But if you keep that defense off the field, you lower the chance of, you know, them making mistakes kind of late in games. And when you can lean on a true bell cow, which a lot of people in the NFL don't have true bell cows, a lot of them are committees. There's early down backs and pass catching backs. If you have a guy like Le'Veon Bell in a Shanahan offense, I think that's total dynamite. And like you said, you know, it's great to have Antonio Brown, but what, he's going to get 13, 12 targets, maybe catch eight of them? And, you know, who's to say he has 100 yards and a touchdown on that? I think Le'Veon Bell could even be more productive even if he wasn't scoring. He could put the offense in better positions, and I just think he's a better overall around pick. And then also, too, the fact that he's been, even though he has been on ice, like Dib said, for a year, I think for a running back that touches the ball 300-plus times, that's great time off. It's kind of like when Adrian Peterson, even though he got hurt, he was out for a year. He got his full strength and his legs back, and he dominated, and he led the league in rushing and touches. So I think Bell's the way to go, and then you mix it with a little Earl Thomas. I think you got something cooking, possibly 8-8, 9-7. Thanks, guys.
Excellent, Will. We appreciate the call. We'll react to that in just a moment, but there is some news we're trying to dissect at the minute. 4 minutes ago on Twitter, 4 minutes ago, so this just happened. And for anyone watching the Ted Bundy thing on Netflix, imagine this information flying around in 4 minutes. Watch it if you haven't seen it. It's amazing. You could commit any crime you wanted in the 70s, and if you just left the state, that's it. You're free. No one even knew where you were. No one knew where you were
there
from.
There was no DNA evidence at the time that they knew how to uncover. So if it wasn't a fingerprint that they had on file and nobody saw you on the bus station leaving town, you pretty much got away with it.
The guy escaped from Aspen PD twice. Once he just jumped out of a window and they found him in the woods like 5 days later. So they brought him back in and then he escaped again.
Oh, wow.
Like, wake up, Aspen. Get off the ski slopes for a few minutes. Wow. This Ted Bundy you got.
Sober up, Aspen.
It's just, you got to watch this thing. It's incredible. It's very disturbing. Let me be very clear about that. But apparently in the 70s, if you committed serious crimes and then you just left the state, that's it. You're a free start. In Florida, they caught him.
Got him in the woods and he got out?
In Florida, they caught him for a traffic violation and he just didn't give them their name, his name. So they just called him Mystery Man. And they're like, we think he may have killed these people at the sorority house, but we don't know who this guy is. Days went by. He's just Mystery Man. In the papers, Mystery Man linked to murders. Mystery Man!
Nowadays, his face is on social media, and within 5 minutes, you've got his name, his family, his grandparents, his Ancestry.com, everything.
Yeah, there's no chance.
No chance.
There's no chance for any of this now.
I gotta watch it.
The guy crawled through a light bulb thing above. It's he starved himself down to 140 pounds, then just crawled out through the ceiling. Went up through a guy's apartment, put on his clothes, walked out the front door, stole a car because apparently in the 70s, everyone just left their doors unlocked and their keys in the car.
Yeah,
so you could just steal cars anywhere. It's like Grand Theft Auto, the video game. Wow. It's amazing.
Makes it so you don't have to wonder where your keys are, Joe.
It's like, man, this guy's a monster. It's like, well, yeah, we're not really doing a whole lot to stop this sort of thing. If he just walks away, that's it. He's gone. There's really nothing police could do back then. It's incredible. A bit of a departure from
the
tweet.
Thank you.
That's now 7 minutes ago.
Yeah,
7 minutes ago rather than 4 minutes ago. Antonio Brown on Twitter 7 minutes ago. Quote, thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward. Hashtag new demands and the emoji peace. Peace emoji. Is it peace out, I guess. Thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward. Now, this is something, and I'm going to tell you exactly how this news story is going to play out. This is going to be made a big deal. Whoa, Antonio Brown's on the move. This is just some guy sending a tweet. We realize that, right? He's been telling everyone what he's doing for months and nothing's happened.
Right.
Hey, can't wait to play with Jerry Rice for the 49ers. I'm going to go join Jerry and play for the Niners. Woo, it's coming to the Niners. No, you don't. You actually don't have say in this.
Mm-mm.
The Steelers have the say. So he just sends his tweet out thanking Steeler Nation for a big 9 years. I guess maybe something's coming, but I would imagine that Adam Schefter would be right on the heels of this. And given that 7 minutes has gone by, I find it hard to believe. I really just think this guy's sending another tweet
just to get people riled up?
Right, just to stir the pot, because the hot stove right now for baseball is non-existent. So if you're Antonio Brown, you're thinking there's a definite void right now in interest in this off-season market. The NBA trade deadline's behind us. We got the All-Star game coming up, so it's a little bit of a slow sports period between now and the All-Star game for the NBA this weekend. So if you're Antonio Brown, it makes perfect sense. And Joe, already the tweet sent 9 minutes ago, 4,300 likes, 634 comments. People are interested in this story as it pertains to what might happen.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it's a story. I think he's just trying to get a reaction out of people. All right, thanks, Steeler Nation. It's been a great 9 years. You haven't been traded. Nothing's happened. Well, yeah, whatever. Just thanks.
Yeah.
That's what I think we're dealing with here.
You're absolutely right. I don't really think that anything is going to happen no time soon. Antonio Brown's been out there, and teams have been kicking the tires. They must be asking for a king's ransom, and no one's going to give it. I'm telling you, I really doubt that any top 10 team, I would say top 15, I don't believe that there will be a suitor, top 15 picks, to trade that first-round pick. I do not see that happening.
I don't think it's going to cost a first round pick. I think the Steelers are just ready to move on from this
dude.
They
are.
This is all very odd. He keeps finding his way back into the news, and I guess to an extent that's good PR, but you know, you're going to want the sense that if you're going to invest in this guy, he's going to buy into the program and not just make it about himself. And right now he's consistently finding his way into the news this is just odd.
Well, it doesn't come out in the wash, come out in the rinse. And you just see all the things that are starting to come out, behavior, certain things, you know, his girlfriend, whatever had happened, he got off. We don't know if he really pushed her. We don't know those different things. All the different things around him, you know, the Airbnb, the guy not showing up, meetings, all the times he's missed. So all these things are coming out. Where there's smoke, Dib said there's fire, unless it's the burning bush. So when you think about what's going on and what has happened, and now you're seeing all this stuff that's going on, there's a lot of teams that are out there saying, I'm not going to assume this contract. I can't take this contract on. I don't know what type of guy this guy is. I don't know the consistency. People in Pittsburgh are saying, bye-bye. A lot of the team, a lot of the players, a lot of the fans, we had guys on radio saying, let him go. So I think it's going to be interesting, Daniel, to see if any team's going to give up a first round, late second for this guy. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers better off to just say, let him go?
I think it's a second round. And as this continues to get closer and closer to the free agency period, the new league year, and the draft, the price has to come down. And for Antonio Brown, in his mind, doing this doesn't hurt him at all, but it does hurt the Pittsburgh Steelers' ability to get as much for him as possible, because he does come across as a little bit aloof, or maybe he's fixated on himself. There's a video montage that he sent out with this tweet of all his highlights as well. So if you're one of the other 31 teams and you're looking at the situation, you know that it's broken. And Pittsburgh has already hinted that maybe they would just release him. So you're not going to offer a first-round pick, Lo. You're absolutely right.
And how many years he's still having that contract, Joe? You know what I'm saying? The guy's still got three.
Four,
thank you.
Something like that. Here's what this is. Yeah. This is your classic switchola. All right, this is your classic switchola. So he's got a tweet out there. And when people talk about Antonio Brown right now, they're talking about the tweet. Oh, Antonio Brown saying goodbye to Pittsburgh. He must be in the works to be traded. That's because over an hour ago, the report surfaced that he was found guilty in his reckless driving case, stemming from a November incident when police say the NFL star was doing 100 mile an hour in his Porsche. Now, cops in Pittsburgh were responding to a bank robbery on November 8th when they saw a black Porsche racing away from the scene. Talk about bad luck, timing to speed. Cops gave chase and pulled the car over, but it wasn't a bank robber. It was Brown, who was cited for reckless driving and ordered to appear in court. He recently appeared in court and was found guilty, this per TMZ Sports. So this story came out at 8:13 a.m. this morning, and now about 70 minutes later, he's got a tweet telling everyone, thanks for everything, Pittsburgh. It's been real. Thanks for the 9 years. Time to move on. This is your classic bait and switch. We see this in politics all the time. Something's going wrong, so you just say something else and everyone talks about that. It's relatively clever.
Yeah, and for Antonio Brown, it's a situation where now is the time to go ahead and stir the Hornets hive a little bit more and get that interest going again, because he doesn't want to return to Pittsburgh. You know that. Pittsburgh certainly doesn't want him to return. So how does this end? Either he sits out the year because they hold on to him, which isn't likely to happen after Le'Veon Bell set out a year.
Can't do it.
Or they find some way to trade him. Or at the very least, They're going to just, what, outright release him, take the cap hit, and then he's free to go about his business.
How do you feel about those two players? I understand you like Antonio Brown more, but just like men, character, people. When you look at Le'Veon, you think about playing with a bomb knee, get the 10, and then he gets they put the tag on him. He comes back, breaks all the records, does show that he's coming back, did it, be quiet that whole year, didn't say anything, and all of a sudden now he holds out. How do you view these two guys, the way they're going about their business?
Having never met either one of them, it's difficult to really make a quality judgment about the person. But from a distance,
you speculate wildly.
And that's what we do on this program, 6 to 10. I think you look at each situation and you can see faults or demerits with both. Because for me, Le'Veon Bell, sitting out an entire year when you were in line to make, 14 or $15 million for the season, that's selfish. But you look at Antonio Brown skipping out on his team, clowning his team, embarrassing his coach, embarrassing his organization. That's not good either. So for me, if the two players, personality-wise, are similar, I still would rather have the wide receiver because of how he could impact his team over the running back.
Let's put it back to the phones. Oliver and Milpitas. Oliver, thanks for the phone call. The 49er offseason, free agency, the draft. What are you thinking? What do you want to see him do?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No doubt. What's going on?
Hey, just me looking at it, I think you go Antonio Brown. Jerry Rice can mentor him in that offense. You already got George Kittle, which you can make the argument, top five tight end in the league. We're not talking about Matt Breida had 800 yards last season, averaging 5 yards a carry. You get McKinnon back. I think there's enough there. If you look at what Shanahan did at Atlanta, a little sick. He had a dual running back thing there. Worked great. You get Antonio Brown. You got Kittle. You got two running backs. I don't think you need Le'Veon Bell.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in. I will say this. I kind of tend to side with that camp. Jerick McKinnon, cutting him or moving on for him, it doesn't make any sense. You just paid him a ton of money. He just got $12.5 million to not take a snap. That deal was front-loaded. So the reality is, if you just paid him the big chunk and got nothing, what's the harm in giving him a try this year at 5.75? Because that's his cap number this year. That's a reasonable price, $5.75 million. And I think it's a classic, well, he got hurt, we were really excited, but we all moved on. I think it's a good buy low candidate. I really do. I think it's one of those, what's Warren Buffett always say, when there's panic, buy, and when everyone's buying, sell. I don't know.
Buy.
Yeah. Just basically do the opposite. When everyone's going nuts, be cautious. When everyone's being cautious, go nuts. And again, that's paraphrasing, but I think a lot of people are down on Garoppolo and McKinnon. And in that situation, I'm high on both. Like I said, I'll buy all the Garoppolo stock that's out there. I think he's going to come back strong. He's going to play well.
Yeah, I think that McKinnon is more of a question mark than Jimmy G, in my opinion. And like you said, I think if you look at Jimmy G, he's a quarterback. He's going to be a lot more cautious. He's not going to try to take off and run. The guy's going to try to throw from the pocket, and he's going to learn how to slide and all those different things, not going to take on hits like that. So when you think about the quarterback position, yes, I'm with you. Jimmy G is liable, I think, is going to better bounce back. I think with McKinnon, it's still, you don't know. How's he going to feel after the first hit? Is he going to bounce back? How is he going to play? And yeah, you're right. It's a cheap deal. I just look at it and I'm saying, now if I could get a pass rusher, without a doubt, I'm grabbing me a pass rusher. If I can get my guy from Dallas, and then go out and get Bosa, and then Le'Veon Bell, if I can afford those three, I'm getting it. I think those three would really, really help your team. I really believe if you got that, you're in the playoffs. You are in. If you had those two pass rushers and you got Le'Veon, regardless of what kind of receiver you get, whether you draft a couple more receivers, free agency, get a mediocre guy, you will be in the playoffs next year.
Diego in Sacramento. Diego, thank you for the phone call. What's up?
All right. Hey, great show, guys. I would either get Jadeveon Clowney or DeMarcus Lawrence to help out Buckner. And also, I believe we need to get another linebacker with the loss of Foster, so I would get C.J. Mosley and then do work in the draft. What do you guys think about that?
Interesting. Jadeveon Clowney's name hasn't come up all that much. He's going to cost a big price tag because people remember the hit against the Michigan running back. They know the freak athleticism, and he's only 26 years old. Like, he's still got a lot left in the tank, and he's gotten better. But that's a lot of money to play for a really, really inconsistent pass rusher. Like, when he wants to play, he's ferocious. But there are a lot of plays where it looks like he doesn't want to play.
Now, does he play on the inside like DeForest Buckner, or can he play more on the outside as a pass rusher?
He's defensive end.
Because it seems to me, when you look at those outside guys, you'd want somebody with a little bit more speed and a little bit more bend than what Jadeveon Clowney has. And for me, I would much rather go Ziggy Ansah or to go to the Cowboy DeMarcus Lawrence as you were going down your pecking order of preferential guys, especially if the price tag is going to be $15, $16, $17 million a season.
Yeah, if you're going to go after the young man, if you think about what the Texans, what he brings, he's going to be more expensive than all of them. He'll be higher than Ziggy. He'll be also be higher than
both. You think?
Yeah, I know so. He Clowney will be higher than both those guys on the free agent market.
Well, higher than both what guys? The Lawrence?
Yeah.
And Ziggy Ansah, he's saying.
Ziggy without question. The guy can't stay healthy, and he's higher low. Like, there's a lot. You're buying on spec to an extent with Clowney, and there's a lot to like there. But you think he gets more than Lawrence?
I think he does. I think he's got the name. Like you said, those certain things that people think about him. He was a first pick in the draft. It's something about these guys. I used to hate it. Sometimes you see guys, they got drafted early, and they have an okay year, and the teams just reward them. And the free agency.
Your draft pick's with you for your entire career.
Yes!
You know that.
Hell
whether
yeah.
It's not fair, but
it's
I've heard that from okay. so many players.
It's
mostly
true.
Non-first rounders. Telling me that status was is that with you forever.
It was needed.
No, I'm not trying to knock you.
Not you. But no, I'm talking about this
I played
guy.
This sniff. Yeah. I played okay. the sniff because the draft round stays with you.
It does.
It's not true because you were the highest paid fullback in the league and you were drafted in what, the fourth round? So in fact, it doesn't stay with you the whole time, which is why I hit you with a sniff. Because I thought it was unnecessary whining when you were the highest paid player at your position.
I got a $36,000 signing bonus, a freaking 80-some thousand rookie year, freaking 130 the second year. It does stay with you. I lost millions and millions of dollars, okay?
Because of going to wrestle.
Yeah!
It hurt you at the combine, right?
It hurt me bad. Bad!
I stand behind my sniff.
From Adam Schefter on Twitter.
Thank you, Joe.
Antonio Brown has not been traded, nor has he been released. But Brown wants a trade, and he officially has requested that from the Steelers per source. Mm. See, this is why you listen to Joe Lowe and Dibs. We've got you covered. This tweet comes out. People react. They go nuts. It's nonsense. He's just sending out another tweet. He got popped. He's found guilty of reckless driving an hour ago. So he's trying to shift the conversation. Mm. We see through that.
Yep.
We see through that in these parts. I can't speak for all the other shows in the world, but I can speak for this one.
This also I don't think it's from Adam. I think it's from Adam Schefter. Lorenzo Neal has not been traded, nor has he been released. But yeah. Neal wants a trade from this program, and he's officially requested that from 95.7 The Game. So
granted,
that's per source.
Granted. Where you want to go?
Go to heaven if I live right, Joe. I'm tired of you, Dibs. You go to hell, Dibs.
Put your headphones
that's it.
Back
Show's
on, please.
Over. We're done. We're done. Steiny the Guru
you.
Coming up next. Guest-free, 2 hours. Of fantastic analysis. This much, I can promise you.
Is it really? Is it?
For us, I'm just trying to give him a nice little lead-in. If you want to cut him down, you can feel free. Now that your microphone's off and your backpack's out and you're going to go pull your car off the curb that you parked on this morning. No, no, no. No more. Turn it off. You're done. You're done. That's it. For Dibs and Joe. Not low. He's not saying goodbye. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.